It is a very dangerous thing to announce that a preacher is going to be brief. And because I'm not wearing my glasses, that clock is a blur. So you'll have to make a signal if I'm going on for too long. But during this Christmas period, we've been looking at the different songs in the Gospel of Luke, and we've finished looking at Mary's song, which in Latin is called the Magnificat, which means magnifying the Lord. And this morning, appropriately, we're going to look at the shortest of the songs, which is one verse, verse 14 in the reading that we had. And this is called Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. And that's taken from the first part of the song that the angels sang. And here in verse 14, you have glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's a perfect summary of the Christmas message. So without further ado, let's just open this up. And I'm amazed to begin with that it was angels who sang this. Angels, not fallen angels, not the demons, but the perfect angels that were led by this first angel who announced the birth to the shepherds, and then he was joined by this vast company of angels. And if you thought rightly that our singing group sang very well last night, it would have been quite something to hear these angelic beings praising the Lord. Sometimes in revival, people have heard the voices of angels. Now, why is it amazing that it's angels who are singing this? Well, angels didn't need a savior. They were fine. They were right with God. They were perfect beings. So if an angel can say glory to God because of something he is doing, then how much more should we this morning be singing God's praises? Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to save angels. They didn't need it. He came to you and to me. Somebody's been very kind to me in giving me a gift from Harrods, from the bag. My instant reaction was, for me? Something from Harrods? For me? And I'm sure these shepherds would have thought, angels coming to us, poor shepherds? The juxtaposition here couldn't be greater. Angels singing the Savior, the praises of a Savior that they didn't need, and announcing it to these poor, unworthy people that actually needed salvation. But wow, for you and for me, God didn't first make the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the religious leaders. He didn't make it to the nation's leaders, Herod and others in Jerusalem. He made it to these unknowns. Isn't that a reason this morning for us to be saying glory to God? There's something else about these shepherds which we need to be aware of. Because of their work, looking after the sheep, it was a dirty job. And according to the Old Testament ceremonial law, it made them unclean. And so they couldn't go to the temple to be cleansed for weeks on end because they had to be looking after these sheep. And yet God, in his grace, comes to these ceremoniously unclean people and announces good news to them. And the same is true for you and for me this morning. This is what Christianity is. You see your calling, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen. That, my friend, gives me hope, and it gives you also a living hope. If God announced this to these shepherds, I can also know the same Saviour. So that's the first thing. Glory to God, because we can sing about something that an angel can't even comprehend. An angel can only sing, in one sense, about God as his creator. He can sing about Jesus the Redeemer, but he can't sing from his heart about it because he hasn't experienced it. He doesn't need salvation. But we can sing not just praises to God, the creator, the sustainer of life, but we can say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So that's the first reason. If you feel yourself to be unworthy this morning of Jesus Christ, you're just right for him. If you've come here this morning thinking, you know, church isn't for a person like me. Church is for religious people, for good people. Oh, no. Church is for sinners. And we don't remain sinners. We become saved sinners. But we're still sinners. I can't remember who it was. John Newton used the words. I think he borrowed them from John Bradford, reformer. John Bradford looked at somebody who was quite an unsavory character. And you know what he said? He didn't frown upon him and judge him. He said, "There but for the grace of God, go I." So that's the first thing. I've got to hurry up to the second point. Glory to God. Why? Because of one word in this song. Peace. Peace. God doing something to bring peace to this world. Now, we may rightly say that there doesn't seem to be much peace in this world today. Every time we're meeting at Christmas, there seems to be wars, terrorist attacks, terrible things happening in the world. And it really gets me angry when I hear church leaders talking about the message of Christmas in this way, that what we've got to do is try to make peace. And they've been telling us Christmas after Christmas that the good news is about us making a big effort to make peace. Well, what's the good news in that? We've failed. Every year there hasn't been peace. We've failed completely. That's not good news. The good news is the opposite of that. What we can do, God has done in the sending of his Son. So this is the second reason why we can say glory to God this morning. In Jesus Christ, God has done something that is impossible for you and for me. Impossible. We can't make peace. Let me use this illustration. Sometimes if two countries are at war, a mediator is called in to broker peace between the two warring sides. Now, if a person is chosen as a mediator, he must be respected by both sides. And that's who Jesus Christ is. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So he's respected by the Godhead. God looks on Jesus Christ and says, "This is my only Son in whom I am well pleased," because he is God. He is 100% divine. And then he is representing us, humanity, because what happened in that manger was this: God became one of us. Jesus Christ is a man, 100% human, and he wasn't some freak. He lived a life just like you and I have to live. He endured the same afflictions that we have to go through. He didn't live in a wealthy palace. He lived in a place called Nazareth in Galilee, which was a dump of a place. Can any good thing come out of Galilee, they used to say? He would have grown up there. He would have gone to school there. He would have helped with his father in the carpenter's shop. He just had a normal existence. And he can empathize with you and me. So he represents the Godhead. He represents humanity. And he came into this world to do one thing, to bring us together, to bring a holy God and a sinful humanity to a place of reconciliation. And he did it all by himself. He didn't need our help in any way whatsoever. He lived a perfect life in our place. That's why I love the fact that he was a substitute. As you know, I'm not a big sports fan. And even I, when watching a football match, can understand the idea of substitution. That if a player is playing badly, they take him off the pitch and they bring on a substitute to take his place. And you know what, my friends? That's why we can say this morning, glory to God in the highest. Because where we have failed, not in a game of football, but in a far more important game, the game of obeying God, where the consequences are far more serious, eternal life, eternal death, and we're all by nature deserving of eternal death because we've failed to obey the laws of our Creator. Where we have failed, God has said, I will send my Son as a substitute and he will do what you and I can do. That's what he did. That's what he did. I don't know if I should say this, but I heard of one of our young people, his name was down to take some of our Christmas leaflets around. And he was so busy, he just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Impossible. So his friend became his substitute, and he crossed out his name from the list and put his own name there. Now that's what Jesus Christ did with you and me. Our sins have made us to have a black mark in God's book. We can't pay the price to get into heaven. But Jesus Christ said, I will pay. I will pay whatever it requires. And it didn't just mean him living the perfect life. It meant him going to that cross, taking the punishment from God for your sins and mine, paying the debt to the full, and doing that by shedding his own blood. Blessed be his name. He did all that was required, and he conquered death, and he raised himself from the grave, and he's alive this morning. Christmas Day is Resurrection Day. Jesus Christ wasn't just born 2,000 years ago. He is born in our hearts when we trust in him. There's a reason to glorify God. Jesus, our substitute. The angels didn't know anything about this. But you and I can know something about this. Wesley, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Not a carol, but a good one. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he this world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement, a sacrifice for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. There's only one reaction to that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So peace, peace. And then one more thing. This peace, the word in the Hebrew is shalom. I learned something in Bible college. Shalom. And this is more than a truce in the battles of life. We remember reading about the First World War and about the truce that occurred on Christmas Day. The Germans and the English, they stopped their fighting for Christmas Day and they got out of their trenches and in the middle of no man's land, they had a football match. Imagine doing that. But it only lasted for a day. What's the point of a truce that is short term? When Christ brokers a peace, it doesn't just last for a day. It doesn't just last for a few years. It lasts throughout this life. It lasts across death. It lasts into eternity. What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. No person in this world can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not even death can do it, and not even the devil can do it. This peace is forever and forever, loved with everlasting love. Shalom, peace. But it's more than that. This is a sense of well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, and completeness. Life was difficult at the time of the New Testament, just as it is today. Taxes were high, unemployment was high, morals were slipping lower, and the military state was in control. Roman law, Greek philosophy, and even Jewish religion could not give that peace. God can do it. Shalom, peace. Shalom, peace. So whatever's happening to us, if we're trusting in Jesus Christ, if he's been born in us, if our sins have been blotted out, we can say, it is well. It may not be going well around me. Everything may be going all wrong. But inside, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? I don't know what kind of Christmas you've got. I don't know. Maybe you're on your own today. I hope you're not going to be. But I know Christmas can be a hard time for a lot of people. But it is possible to go back to a lonely house. It is possible to have a chronic condition that drags you down. It is possible not to have peace with people around you, to have friends and family at loggerheads, and still be able to say, it is well with my soul. You know, a Christian isn't a thermometer. What do I mean by that? A thermometer records the temperature. That's not the Christian. The Christian's peace isn't dependent on his circumstances. The Christian is a thermostat. The thermostat controls the temperature around him. And we are not controlled by circumstances when we're in Christ. We are masters of circumstances because we're joined to him, and he's working together all things for our good. Shalom, peace. Now I've got to come to a conclusion. In the time of the New Testament, you had the Stoics. Have you heard of the Stoic philosophers? Basically, the Stoics said, you've just got to grit your teeth and get on with it. Now, that's not Christianity. You know, we've just got to come to church. We've just got to read our Bibles. We've just got to pray. We've just got to get on with it. That's not true Christianity. This is what the Stoic said. While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which many yearns more than even outward peace. And all the Stoic could say is, you've got to grit your teeth and get on with it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, give up trying. Go as you are to Jesus Christ this morning. If you're a Christian, go again to him. Don't you feel sometimes as a believer that you want to be converted all over again? Just go to him. Let's get rid of our veneer of religiosity. And let's just say, Lord, I've got nothing to offer you. Lord, I'm like these poor shepherds. I'm unclean in and of myself. I'm just poor, and I'm coming to you spiritually naked, and I thank you that you welcome me with open arms. And you say to me, come, I will give you rest. Not as the world gives will I give. I will give that peace that passes all understanding. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. May every one of us have a very blessed Christmas because the peace of God has come into our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.